Today on Tube Talk, we're diving deep. We're going to unpack the world of blogging. We're going to unpack the world of YouTube. We're going to unpack brand deals and numbers and page views and everything in between. Can you take the world of blogging? Can you merge it into YouTube? Can you expand into products? And can you make money? That's all coming up on Tube Talk.
Welcome to Tube Talk, the show dedicated to helping you become a better video creator so you can get more views, subscribers, and build your audience. Brought to you by vidIQ. Download for free at vidIQ.com.
And welcome to another episode of Tube Talk. My name is Liron Segev. I am a tech blogger, a YouTuber, and the director of customer success here at vidIQ, where every day I help creators big and small level up their channels, understand YouTube strategy, get more subscribers, more views in less time. So as a blogger, this topic is very close to my heart, and I wanted to get one of the industry's leading experts who's going to help us navigate this blogging and video world together. And one of them is Kristen Hills. She and her six sisters, hence sixsisterstuff.com, created this amazing blog, but they're also transitioning into video.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
So this is very exciting stuff, kind of the old blogging world and YouTube colliding.
Right? Yes, yes.
So let's take kind of two steps back and set the scene for people who don't know you. Let's talk about Six Sisters Stuff. Who is Kristen in a tweet?
Oh, in a tweet.
Huh? Yeah.
I might talk a little more than what can be said.
Go for it.
Nice. Okay, so like you said, I have five sisters, so there are six of us, and we started a blog back in 2011, so one of the very first ones to start a blog, and then we started making content and realized that people really liked food. When we made food, they would come and come to our blog. So we decided, okay, let's push food. So we always kind of jump on the trend of, okay, what's working for us? Let's go with that. And so Pinterest came about and we've made a lot of recipes, put them on Pinterest, and then we just started growing. So we were maybe at 2,000 page views a day to we jumped to about 200,000 page views a day just in a few weeks. Yeah, it was unreal what Pinterest did for us.
Wow. And how long ago was this? Was it still in 2011?
Right when Pinterest came out, we were one of the first ones invited. Okay. And so instead of just like pinning a little bit, we literally had a system where we would pin almost 30 to 40 times a day at the very, very beginning. And so not many people were on Pinterest. And so they saw our stuff constantly. So, I mean, it came with work, but that's kind of how we started.
Or limited content on a specific platform. And you kind of recognized that really early on, knowing that if you jump onto this, likelihood is pretty good that people are going to see this.
Exactly.
Well, that was pretty smart. Just before you kind of carry on, you said you moved into food. What were you doing on your blog before you realized that food was your thing?
Oh, man. So we started the blog because my sisters and I, we moved to different states. Now, there's six of us, but two of them were still in junior high when we started this blog. And so there was really like the three oldest. We moved away from each other and we needed a way to communicate with each other. So our husbands kind of suggested, oh, you should look into blogging. So we started a blog to share like our mommy tips and what books we were reading that day. And yeah, it started out as like a conversation with each other.
That is so cool. And then people saw your food stuff and they kind of really gravitated to that.
Exactly.
And how did you know that they liked your food stuff over something else, for example?
Well, so you'd write about your favorite book and you'd get two views. Then you'd write about your mom's brownie recipes, which I know that you love secretly.
Yes, no comments.
And anyways, we'd get 200 views. So, I mean, two views to 200 was huge for us. So,
analytics, love thy numbers.
Right. And you have to look at them.
Well, yeah, whether you like it or not. All right, sorry, I interrupted you. So blogging, did your food thing, understood Pinterest.
Yep.
What was next?
So we grew Pinterest, and then we jumped onto Facebook and started just pushing our Facebook. On each blog post, we'd write about our Facebook. So we'd kind of focus on one platform at a time to slowly grow it. So Pinterest was first, then Facebook, and then the other platforms from there. So right now, I think Pinterest, we have like 800,000 followers on there, and Facebook is almost to 1.5 million. And so it's just is a process, always a process.
Always something going on.
Always.
Okay, where did YouTube come into play here?
So YouTube came into play. We actually started making a few videos in like 2013, but we had no idea what we were doing. And so we just kind of make videos for Facebook and just throw them on our YouTube channel. And so we didn't understand anything. Then 2017 came, and I knew that that's where the world was going, was video. Everything was video. And so I went to CVX Live in Salt Lake just to learn about it, and I was blown away. I was just in love with the thought of YouTube. And so I did a lot of research. I did a lot of podcasts, but I slowly was learning. And then really started figuring out YouTube and how it worked. And yeah, it just became a huge part of my life, a huge part of the blog. So now with our blog, each sister kind of has a job, and my job is YouTube. So that's mostly what I focus on.
Wow. Okay. So, and then how many subscribers is your blog got, as your YouTube channel got at the moment?
Our YouTube is at, we just hit 234,000 this morning.
So. Nice. Yeah. The kind of key message here, you started this in 2017.
Yes.
And that's not so long ago.
No, I started, so it hasn't even been 2 years, and I started with about 8,000 subscribers on there, but the channel was dead. There was nothing happening there, so.
Now, of course, obviously, having the blog as your main platform, you already had an audience there, and Pinterest and Facebook, so it was easier to direct that audience to yet another location. Have you got a specific strategy that you work with at the moment to move audiences around between the various platforms, or do you kind of see them all as completely separate?
So that's a good question. At first I thought, yes, I'm going to crush this YouTube thing because I have a huge audience and I'm going to bring everyone over. And I'll tell you right now, that is not the case. not even a little bit. Push people over and get them to subscribe, but they weren't my followers on YouTube. Like, once I found people on YouTube that watched YouTube, those were my good followers. But I did start by, I want to say I jump-started my channel. Mm-hmm. I did a big giant giveaway with Gleam, and I know YouTube doesn't really love that anymore, but in 2017, it was okay. So I did a giveaway, and I took all... and put it on like my Facebook, on Pinterest, on Instagram, on our blog posts, on our email list, and just to push everyone over to YouTube. So from there, I gained about 10,000 subscribers from that huge, massive push. But my numbers were still the same. Like, I wasn't...
Right.
I might have gained a lot of subscribers, but they weren't actually watching my content.
Oh, so that's a great little nugget right there. Just because you have a number, which is rather a bit large, and that's your subscriber number, doesn't necessarily mean that those are going to watch your videos, not your audience. Would you do another giveaway of the same nature if YouTube said it was okay? Would you think there's value in doing that?
I think it's value. This sounds ridiculous, but usually if a channel has, you know, 1,000 subscribers, I necessarily don't subscribe because I'm like, oh, they're just tiny. And I know a lot of people don't think that, but for me personally, that's kind of what I think. Yeah. But if someone has 18,000 subscribers, I'll look into them more. Like, okay, people are following them. So in a way, I would do it for the numbers, but I mentally will know that that's not necessarily
right
to be watching my content. So
you're setting your own expectations. So it serves a purpose, and the purpose is to give you a nice kind of jumpstart on the channel. Gives you a nice you kind of almost some sort of authority, I suppose. But you know that these are not going to be your core audience into the future. You're kind of building from there, essentially.
Exactly.
Okay. So what do you do today? I mean, is the blog kind of your main thing? I know each sister has got her own responsibility, her own job, but kind of where do you guys focus most of your attention? Is it still on the blog, or are you kind of prioritizing the other platforms just as equally as that blog?
Gotcha. So yeah, our main thing is the blog, but I want to say that YouTube is kind of a separate thing. They work together, but they're such very different things. So if you don't mind, I'm going to jump into this just a little bit.
Go for it.
So the blog is our main thing. We post 7 times a week. Each sister takes a day. And then my mom also works for us. She takes a day also. And so we have blog posts going out. Then we're also redoing old posts with the correct keywords, SEO, doing it kind of.
Oh, nice. Because
when we first started, mm-hmm. we were just throwing up a picture, throwing up the recipe. And Google doesn't like that. They love, you know, the helps people out, make sure you have right. the right words, that kind of stuff. And so we're going back and we're redoing all those.
Kind of re-optimizing your old content.
Yes.
Do you know how many pages you have on your blog or how big it is?
How many pages do we have on our blog?
Well, how many pages as a whole? Is it like hundreds of pages, hundreds of recipes? Is it thousands of recipes?
We're close to 4,000 recipes now.
Wow. Okay. Do you mind sharing kind of any numbers in terms of stats on your blog?
Yeah. So it depends on the season. Usually mm-hmm. holidays and like fall and Christmas and even January do really well. Summertime kind of dies off because everyone's busy. So right now we're averaging about 3 million a month, which doesn't seem like a lot when it comes to YouTube numbers. But if you think about it, YouTube, you get one ad usually before each video. Mm-hmm. On our blog, we have like 8 or 9 ads. So we're getting that much more money from our blog compared to.
Absolutely. In the blogging world, that's huge. I mean, that is ranks up there with the best of the best. But that's a great point about being able to serve more than one ad. Like I run a tech blog. And what I really like about the technology kind of world and running my own blog is it's my own. I get to control it. Yeah. When you're on somebody else's platform, you're pretty much at their mercy. They change an algorithm. You got to go with it. Your blog is your own.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to kind of revenue, and again, don't share anything you're not comfortable sharing. Is the ad revenue more lucrative on the blog side just because of the volume? Or is there kind of other opportunities? I mean, I know you guys have cookbooks. Can you talk to some of those revenue streams?
No, I would love to. Okay. So first off, we'll start with like ads on the blog. That's it used to be our biggest revenue stream. It's not anymore, but it's still a big chunk for us. So I don't know. Average month is about, it can be anywhere from $30,000 to $60,000 a month just from the blog revenue.
Sure, that's for ads. A fair whack.
Yeah, depends. It really depends on the month. And
ads is passive income after you've done the work, obviously. Yes. Right. So we got ads on blog. Right. What else we got?
Then we have, once we started getting an audience, we realized we can make a lot more money if we have our own product. And so that's what we've been starting to do. So we started something called a menu plan, and it's a membership. And so you can sign up, and every week we will send you 6 recipes and 2 side dishes and all the ingredients you need to make these recipes. So all you have to do is you can shop online, you can go to the store, but your grocery list is already taken care of. Like it's all done mm-hmm. for you. And so every week they'll get one of those, and then they pay monthly. So I think it's, depending on what sales are going on, it's about $14.99 per person per month.
Okay.
And so that's been our biggest revenue stream, by far outweighing the ads every month.
Oh, wow. Okay. So people are obviously wanting that customized specific information.
Yes.
And I'm happy to pay for it if it's delivered to them, I suppose.
Exactly. Like it takes me a good hour and a half to make a shopping list. If I can get one automatically, that mm-hmm. is worth my time. And,
Thank you very much. Absolutely. Do the same recipes, would they appear somewhere else? Or is it kind of more exclusive content to people who pay for it?
No, it's, I mean, because we have about 4,000 recipes. So lots of times we'll take old recipes that have kind of been buried. There's a lot of them, and then we'll bring it back up. You can take a picture, fix it a little bit, and put it in there. And majority of the time, the people have not seen these recipes. So,
and again, it's about the convenience. It's about switching my inbox and saying, exactly. "There it is, press print, it's done."
That's really what it's about.
Okay, ad revenue. We got membership number 2. What else have we got?
We have published cookbooks. So we have 7 cookbooks out, and we actually have 3 more in the works. So,
What?
yeah, we weren't expecting to sign 3 more, but they had some great ideas, and that's kind of where it's going from there. So,
It's funny, every time we speak, you see, this is the last one, this is done.
no,
And then it's 6 and 7, and now we have 3 more. Okay.
I know. I really thought this one was the last one. I mean, it's a great opportunity, and we're grateful to have those published cookbooks. It's a little time consuming to make a cookbook. Thankfully, there are 6 of us, well, 7 of us, because our mom, and
Mom,
so
yeah.
you can usually whip out a cookbook in about 6 weeks. It's a lot of work, but
I've got to ask this question because
okay.
it has to be asked. Do the hubbies contribute to this process?
Well, my husband, he eats the food, if that
Well,
counts.
someone's got it.
No, yeah, we actually have a few that contribute. So we have the sister who's in charge of the membership plan, the menu plan. Her husband kind of quit his job and works on that full time with her. So he works for the company. And then we also have another sister whose husband is our accountant. He takes care of all our money and all that fun stuff.
Oh, the fun stuff. Keep it in the family.
Exactly.
No, because I mean, that's the one thing is that people really underestimate is the time commitments that this requires. And it definitely has an impact on the family. It's got impact on how you plan and what you're going to be doing and who can and cannot do. So it's a business at the end of the day. And the business needs to be run like a regular business. It's got expenses, it's got an income, it's got its ups and downs, and you've got to kind of bob and weave and adjust as you need to.
Yeah. No, it's funny when I like we're purchasing a house right now, and I'm the one that whose name is on it. And when they ask what I do, they're like, "Yeah, well, I'm a blogger and a YouTuber," and they just stare at me like, "And you make money from that?"
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Hence, I'm buying this property.
Exactly.
So, where do you see this thing kind of all going? You've made a transition from the blogging world to other media, but you haven't left your base. I mean, your base is still the
Yes.
blog. What's
Yeah.
the next step? Where do you see this going?
Well, that's a really good question. So for me personally, the goal is to get YouTube to 1 million subscribers. YouTube is a little bit different. Like we used to make just normal recipes on YouTube, and we just weren't growing. Like I was so frustrated, it wasn't working. And then I did a random video about an Instant Pot, and it just took off. And so then I'm like, oh, well, maybe I'll do another Instant Pot video. Took off again. So third video took off again. I'm like, okay, well, we're not going to do other food. We're going to kind of focus on the Instant Pot.
Absolutely.
And so once I niched down on a food topic, which was not my goal, like I did not really want to do that. But now that I've done it and seen the progress that I've made and all the tight-knit group that's come together to learn about the Instant Pot, and it's hilarious. It's a blast, and I've loved doing it. So I've kind of we share Instant Pot recipes on the blog, transitioning back and forth from YouTube to blog, making sure there's Instant Pot on both. But the next step is hopefully to get some Instant Pot products and kind of go that direction to try and push the Instant Pot more. It's one of the most purchased items on Amazon, and so I figure why not go with that, you know?
Well, you've got the hardest thing that is virtually impossible to get out there, which is an audience. So if your audience kind of loves you, they know what you do, they can see the quality, it's just natural for them to support you and take that step, which is kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
I also like the fact that you've recognized, look, I'm going to do lots of things, sit back, and then you realize that's just not working. Well, because you're competing with literally every other food blogger, YouTuber out there. But as
Exactly.
soon as you did one that took off, you were smart enough to say, oh, hold on, we may be onto something. Let's test it again. And let's test it again. And then there we go. It became the Instant Pot recipe. I mean, I recommend that channel to anybody who buys one. They said, hey, before you get started, off you go. This is how you do it. people want this information. So let's give it to them. So I love the direction. I love the kind of where you're going with this. So let me ask you, what has got you really excited right now?
Oh, man. Well, I am slightly obsessed with YouTube and just the number game. And my girls and I have a different channel. And so right now, after going to, we just got back from Clamor Conference and seeing all the, there was a lot of family vloggers there and everything that they did. And I, after talking with my husband and my girls, and I think we might jump back into our kid channel that we've been working on. So my brain is just going constantly about that kid channel because it was so much fun. And I love the back end and kind of playing the game that YouTube plays. It's fun for me. So
okay, so yet another we've often spoken and kind of just I love this and I'm trying this and this is kind of, oh, I tried that and it didn't work and that was okay as well. I mean, you live, learn, and learn quickly and move on.
Exactly. Yep.
So if somebody else is kind of thinking, okay, look, I have a blog and I'm kind of doing cool with AdSense and some sponsored posts and some brand deals on my blog, and now I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, oh, hold on, there's other opportunities out there. What advice could you give me?
First of all, you need a product. You need
something. Oh, you're loving this product thing.
Oh, my word. I'm telling you right now, everyone needs to have a product. Everyone. It's a game changer. We've sold, like, I talked a little bit about our income, but I didn't even go into our ebooks that we have. We have ebooks that focus on how to grow a blog, how to, you know, monetize a blog, even small e-cookbooks that will are specifically niched. So I have an Instant Pot one coming out soon. And just a little bit of money, like even a few thousand a month, which is huge when it comes to product. All you have to do is talk about it a little bit. And that's all you have to do. It's just passive income, which is my most favorite thing.
Yes. product.
Product. Yep. Because that's really where it is. I mean, unless you can get amazing brand deals, which there is a lot of money with brand deals. Mm. But product, if you're first starting out and you don't have a lot of stuff, if you, okay, here's the biggest thing. A lot of people I talk to, they're like, well, I don't know what to do. What could my product be? I'm not good at anything. Like, no, if you're blogging, if you're YouTubing, you're good at something. And so go with that. Whatever videos are doing good, whatever blog posts are doing good. If you have, like, for instance, for food, like we had our brownies were our most popular one. So we made an ebook of brownies and we sold hundreds of those things because brownies were doing well. So we put it at the bottom of each post, we put it on all our social media and we could just sell it.
Ooh, okay. I wonder if it applies throughout all types of blogs, because I know kind of YouTube is divided into the whole education, you know, the how-to channels. And then you have the entertainment channels, the vloggers, you know, things of that nature. But in the blogging world, is it the same?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Like, I don't know a lot about cars.
Yeah, me neither.
So for us, when we first started, we knew mostly about blogs. So that's why we did like blogging 101. So you do car mechanics 101. You do the very simple, basic things that if someone doesn't know anything about car mechanics, you can easily write an ebook about that because you probably know the basics if you're writing a blog about it, right? You can write another ebook and get more into the immediate or advanced, or your goal with your product is to make sure that it has a lot of keywords that people can search and make sure that it's on like a blog or a platform that people can actually find too.
Okay, smart. So it's more of, I'm writing about this anyway. Don't assume other people know the basics or know the essentials. Just because you do. So you might be writing about, I don't know, how to file your taxes correctly. And for you, it's simple. You just fill in a form. But so many people are so scared of that process. Maybe a product would be a handy guide to filing your taxes correctly. Your taxes correctly.
Yeah.
And that might work. My first book was about Instagram, Master Instagram for Business, as an example. So it's technology related, but it's not about the news or stuff that's coming off the blog. So we just got to think slightly bigger than the platform.
Yeah. Yeah. So for another example, my brother-in-law is a physical therapist and he jumped on YouTube not too long ago and I was trying to teach him and kind of what my rule of thumb is like videos of three. Like if you can get videos of three that have somewhat similar titles, have somewhat similar things involved, then YouTube will notice that, oh, that's what they're talking about, and they'll push it. So he did the same thing. So even though his blog or his YouTube channel is physical therapy, once he started talking about like back pain, he had three videos about back pain and they just took off. And so he's like, well, I might as well make an ebook about this. So he literally wrote an ebook the next day about back pain and sold hundreds of them.
What?
Because that's what videos were doing well. So he literally stayed up a whole entire night, finished the ebook, put it on, and he made a lot of money. And so,
okay, hold on. Now we got to demystify this ebook thing. So ebook is completely different to like your cookbook. Can you take us through that?
Yes. Yes. So with the regular cookbook, we usually make them really, really nice. And so we retake all the pictures. We make sure the recipe's good. We send it to our publisher and then they send it overseas to print it. It just is it's a really long process. Not only that, we only get 10% of our book sales. But if you have your own product, for example, an ebook, we make simple, easy ones. Like what I was talking before, we make a dessert one. And so we have 30 of your favorite brownie recipes. And it's so easy. So you just go into Word or any type of document and you just literally put it together like you're making, like a blog post almost, or you can use Canva. That's our new favorite thing to use. Canva has templates for you that you can just use and it makes it look a whole lot prettier. So after you get those templates, then you can put it into PDF form and then put it into something that will sell your product for you. So something like Smashwords, where they automatically will send it out for you. Once someone purchases it, they will send it out for you. They'll take a little fee off the top, but you don't have to worry about it anymore. As soon as you're done with the product, you put it into Smashwords and you kind of just walk away, other than advertising, of course. But it's so easy to do an ebook. And if you put your mind to it, you can make one in just a day or two.
It doesn't have to be super, super duper complicated. It doesn't have to be 10,000 pages. It doesn't have to be... people just want the information. If you can give it to them and it's cheap enough for them to buy and that it serves their purpose.
Yeah.
Do you kind of do any affiliate stuff, affiliate sales?
We definitely do affiliates. It's funny, once we jumped onto YouTube, the affiliates jumped way up because showing people how to use items, they're more likely to purchase. And so, yeah, we do a lot of affiliate links on Amazon. We mostly just focus on Amazon because it's the easiest for us, because that's where the audience is, especially around Christmas time. We really push our affiliates because there's a lot of money to be made there.
Sure. Is there anything else that you make money from, or have we covered it all?
I'm trying to think. mostly sponsors, especially with YouTube. We have quite a bit of YouTube sponsors compared to blog sponsors these days. So that's kind of fun and exciting. Because
and are those kind of pretty lucrative as well?
Depends on the month. But okay. Yeah, it depends on the brand and the month and what the goal is. So for Super Bowl, I was going crazy. And then right now, there's not a lot going on in the month of May, June. So not a lot of sponsors, but we already have some coming up for 4th of July, barbecue stuff. So
can you recall when was your first brand deal on YouTube?
On YouTube? Yeah, it was a meatball company. I actually went through, I can't remember what it's called. There's something that YouTube owns. Is it FameBit?
Yes. Yes.
So I just applied for FameBit Marketplace. I had really no idea what it was. I heard about it at a conference. And company found me and they're like, hey, we'll give you $5,000. I only had maybe 70,000 subscribers at the time. We'll give you $5,000 for a video on meatballs. And I was so excited. That's a huge chunk of money for a video. So that was my first big sponsor.
So FameBit, for people who don't know, is basically like a type of marketplace where influencers will go and upload their platforms, their profiles, what the kind of where they have their audiences, And then companies would go into that system and say, we're looking for a foodie in this niche, maybe based in a certain location. And then they'll kind of matchmake between the two. And then you negotiate a price based on reach and subscribers and all of that good stuff. But, you know, a lot of times brands will say, hey, here's our budget. This is what we want. Do you accept? Yes or no? So 70,000 subscribers, a $5,000 bill. thank you very much. I mean, was this still an Instapot thing, by the way?
So, no, it wasn't Instapot, but okay. That's when my Instapot started getting bigger. So I did put some Instapot recipes in there along with some that weren't. So I made multiple meatball recipes. I told him, like, yeah, I'll do it for 5,000, but I'll actually make 4 recipes because I know that will do better on my site. So, yeah.
So you over-delivered. They were delighted. But see, again, there's a company in every niche. Somebody's selling a product into that niche, which means they're willing to pay for that product to be showcased. We always kind of talk about the YouTube channel who basically shows people how to take care of their lawn. I'm thinking, well, geez, who would watch a YouTube channel like that? Well, apparently a lot of people want to take care of their lawn. But guess what? There are so many companies who have products for lawn care with no outlet. And this person just became their go-to person. There's something for everyone.
Exactly.
If you could have one message on a billboard in the middle of Times Square or in a tweet that everybody in the planet can see, what would it say?
One message, huh? Oh, man. That's a very good question. My mom always, which was funny, she always said, as soon as we'd leave the door, she would say, you know, just remember, you're not better than anyone else. Treat everyone kind. And so my motto for my girls, I don't tell them that you're not better than anyone else because I thought that was funny, but I always tell them, treat everyone kind. Like, if everyone's kind to everyone, then this world would be such a great place. And sometimes on YouTube and blogs, and there's a lot of mean people out there on the internet world. So even with all that madness, even if you treat the mean people kind, you'll win overall. So that's
love it. Love it, love it, love it. What a great, great message. So if people want to kind of find you and stalk you online, what's the best place?
Six Sister Stuff on every platform. Or if you want to find me on Instagram, it's Kristen_Six Sister Stuff.
And all the links will be in the show notes. So in case you missed anything, it will all be here. So you don't have to panic about that. Thank you very much for spending some time with us and really kind of opening up and sharing. This has been absolute superb and a pleasure and always fun hanging out with you.
Yes. Thanks for having me. It was so fun.
Absolutely. And for everybody else who's still listening on whatever podcast application you happen to be listening, hit that subscribe button. On YouTube, we say smash that subscribe button. I don't know why we still do that. Hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Let us know how the show was, what kind of questions you would like to have answered, who else we should interview. Let me know in the review. We do reach each one of them. And remember, there's one other person who's probably struggling and trying to kind of make an income or additional income. Share this episode with them. Maybe you can inspire it and pay it forward. And be kind to each other, as we were just told. And until next time, we'll catch you soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tube Talk, brought to you by VidIQ. Head over to vidIQ.com/TubeTalk for today's show notes and previous episodes. Enjoy the rest of your video making day.